Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This hour is brought to you by Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Man, I love Danny Parkins.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
Only thing I remember from last week is Danny saying, you better not show up Monday if they lose to my Bears with Lamar.
Bruce sent me a text. He goes, you shouldn't show up for work. And then there was Snoop Huntley outplaying Caleb Williams thoroughly. I'm a little shook.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
We do love talking to Danny Parkins, as Ray said, after our little Menards jingle. Chris Broussard may have a lot to say to Danny, but we do too. So we bring him in, the host, of course, of First Things First on Fox Sports 1. It is now an extended dance mix edition. You can check out Danny from 4 to 5 p.m. on the show. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And he's on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Danny, one of the things that we discussed whenever we were trying to absorb what happened on Sunday against the Ravens was wanting to follow up with you on your thoughts of not only evaluating Caleb Williams, but then seeing that the Raiders creatively, or the Ravens rather, creatively accounted Lamar Jackson's availability. And then they end up with Huntley, the back quarterback, and unfortunately still another Bears loss.
Yeah, the creative accounting thing, I don't find it to be that interesting of a story. Like I don't think the Bears got screwed. They had to practice a little bit more, and like maybe some of their time was wasted. And I get it that like any NFL coach will say that, you know, time is precious and there's only so many hours of practice in the week, and I get it, but like it's objectively good news to play Snoop Huntley instead of Lamar Jackson, and you still lost by two touchdowns. So, you know, I think for the league and for gambling and for Ravens reporting practices, like, and if there will be any punishment, like that's a Baltimore story to me more than it is a Chicago story. It's a bummer. It's a bummer to lose that game. You had a four-game winning streak when you had 15 takeaways in four games, so your defense was carrying your offense. And then your defense didn't get the takeaways, so you needed your offense to carry your defense. How many times have we talked to Olin or Pat Manley or anybody, and they say, you know, football, ultimate team game, complementary game. You got to pick each other up. So many years we've had, like, where the defense carries the offense, and the defense was carrying the offense, and then it was a day where the offense needed to carry the defense, and they couldn't. So I thought that was the story of the game against Baltimore.
No, I think that's an apt way of describing things, Danny. I may be getting ahead of myself here, but I don't care because I'm trying to build a bond here between you and me. And I feel like shared trauma or shared fear builds a bond quicker than most things. So how afraid are you for what might transpire with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the field against, who knows, for the Bears in their secondary on Sunday? Because I'm scared. I'm scared for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, I will say this. That is probably a problem for the Bears, right? Like, that is like a fairly easy conclusion to come to, and I am with you. But I will say, if Joe Flacco doesn't play and it has to be Jake Browning, Jake Browning looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL by a comfortable margin when he started the first, whatever it was, five games or so for the Bengals this year. So I'd be watching that injury report pretty closely on the Bengals side. Like, Flacco is a pro who processes things, who I think will have an NFL arm when he's 60. So like that guy can get the ball to Chase and Higgins. Jake Browning really struggled to get the ball to Chase and Higgins. So, you know, no, Stevenson and Gordon and the Bears secondary injuries, I'm sure Chase and Higgins will get theirs with anybody playing quarterback. But I think there's a huge difference in expectations for Cincy's offense with Flacco and Jake Browning right now. So I'm not panicking on a Wednesday until I know who's playing quarterback for the Bengals.
Danny, what were the takeaways of just what you and Nick Riott and the Fox Sports One panel shared when it came to Caleb Williams? I think I'm to the point right now where, yeah, I understand Ben Johnson said the tape wasn't as bad as the game may have looked, but that was a game where somebody could have taken over, and unfortunately we didn't see that out of the Bears quarterback.
Yeah, this is where, like, I think there's a little bit of nuance. Like, I think that Caleb doing the ordinary and operating on time and that sort of thing, like, he is getting better. I shared the numbers on Twitter the other day. You know, last year he took 68 sacks in 17 games, and he was sacked on nearly 11% of his dropbacks. It's preposterous. It was worse than the NFL across the board. This year he's been sacked 12 times in 7 games, and he's being sacked on about 5% of his dropbacks. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story. Obviously, Dahlman and Tooney and the upgrades on the offensive line are a part of it. Ben Johnson is a part of it. There were intentional groundings that don't count as sacks, right? Like, Caleb, the throw to Roma Dunze, I didn't love that Caleb defended it initially because it was clearly late. He patted the ball. He held it too long, and Menungai was open in the flat. Like, Caleb flatly wasn't good enough. But I do still think that Caleb is, generally speaking, trending in the right direction. And if you can just look at that in a vacuum, that's good. Like, that is just, like, good. Period, full stop, next paragraph. The problem with this is that, at least how I do it, and I think how you guys do it too, but like, when I was on the Score, sometimes it felt like we were talking to Bears fans, and we underestimated how many Bears fans just watch Bears games, because, and it makes total sense. Like, you go on living your life. But now, like, I literally, and I would do it with First and Pod, and because gambling in the NFL, and now because of my job, like, literally watch every NFL game, every Monday night game, every Thursday night game, 11 hours on Sunday. And it's impossible not to compare Caleb. And Drake May is third for MVP right now, having the best deep ball throwing season through 7 games in NFL history, through 8 games in NFL history, and he's got Booty and Stephon Diggs out there. Like, it's not exactly Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Jaden Daniels was in the NFC Championship game last year. Bo Nix has more touchdowns than anyone in that class and was in the playoffs last year. Like, Caleb in a vacuum is, I think, in a totally reasonable place to still have a ton of optimism for what he can be as a second-year player who has made 25 career starts. But when you compare him to the other guys, that's where I think it starts to get a little frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I know we all watch our fair share of football games, and you're right. Like, that's part of what makes this hard, is watching with a keen eye some of the other games and seeing what the other teams are doing and seeing the guys who have similar, like, backgrounds and ages.
Yeah, so I think, like, we want Caleb to be Josh Allen, right? We want him to be Mahomes. We want him to be Herbert, et cetera. And it's instructive to realize that, like, after C.J. Stroud's rookie year, people thought he was going to be that. Now they don't. After Jaden Daniels' rookie year, people thought he was clearly going to be the best quarterback in that class. Now people think that's going to be Drake May. Like, these things fluctuate. But the names that I think are the scary ones for Caleb are Kyler Murray and Trevor Lawrence. Because I don't think we're talking about a bust. Like, I don't think there's any world where that happens. I think he is way too talented for that. And I think that he is getting better at the processing and the mental side of the game, but it's not there yet for him. He's not seeing things fast enough and accurate enough. But he's got an arm that can overcompensate it. He's got athleticism that can overcompensate it. He's got a great play caller who can overcompensate it and all of those things. But like Kyler Murray and Trevor Lawrence were good enough to get paid, good enough that their teams could not quit their talents, but they're not good enough to carry a team, win MVP, and win multiple playoff games with. And then you're just like, we gave our quarterback $250 million, and he's the 15th best quarterback in the league, the 19th best quarterback in the league. And so that still is spinning this thing forward 3 years from now, right? So like, we're not there yet. I don't think every week needs to be a referendum on who Caleb Williams ultimately is going to be. It's just, can he beat Cincinnati? Can he beat New York? Can they be 6-3 when the schedule starts to get really tough? And like, I'm willing to live in the here and now and not zoom out every single week.
Yeah, I think that's fair when you're talking about the quarterback and the week-to-week development. I'm giving him until the end of the year. I think different story, though, for other guys who we had higher expectations for. We just asked the question in our Five On It segment, who's been the most disappointing Bear this season? We agreed it was Dio Odingbo. I'm curious as to if you're with us on that or if you have someone else in mind, because Dio just has not done enough for a guy who signed a three-year, $48 million deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Montez Sweat signed a bigger one.
But I've seen Montez Sweat do things, cause fumbles. I've seen him get sacks, multiples.
Yeah, no, he has. That's a good question. Like, most disappointing Bear. DJ Moore hasn't shown up enough for me this year. Sweat, Dio, those are good ones. You know, like, it's in some ways it's Caleb, right? Like Caleb is supposed to be the superstar, even if everything I just said is still true. Like, if Caleb Williams was having the year that Drake May was having right now, we would be talking about how many playoff games can the Bears win. But he's not. Like, and so that I think is a frustrating thing, because you're objectively correct. Like, you're not living up to a $48 million contract with no production there. But if he had five sacks, how different would the Bears be right now? They'd be a little different. I'm not disputing who you guys concluded with, but I do think that Caleb is the name that I would keep coming back to there, because I want to hold him to the highest of standards.
No, and I feel like the standard may become the discussion. You know, Danny, that may be the biggest story arc when we talk about evaluate him this season. Is maybe the biggest thing we come away with this year is, what should our expectation be? You know, not where he was drafted, just like we talk about how if we were all in Dio Odingbo's position, we would sign the same deal. There's not a doubt in my mind. I would sign it and just take dealing with being the person on the field. You know, that's what I would do. But
I'd love to be overpaid, right?
Yes.
I'd love to be an overpaid disappointment.
It's a dream, right?
But you know why I'm saying all that, though, is because that is part of this. That's part of understanding how much respect everybody gives Ben Johnson. That's part of understanding the money they spend on the line, you know, the players around him.
I got to say, though, Lila, it's an interesting thought, but I will be very surprised if at the end of this year we have a 20-minute conversation and the thrust of the question is like, should we lower our expectations of what Caleb Williams can be? And I say yes. Like, I'll be very, because I still see a guy who is a 98th percentile physical talent. Mm-hmm. And I still see a guy who from year one to year two has improved on the mental side of the game. Now, has he improved enough? No. Has he improved enough to the point where I'm even like totally convinced that he's ahead of Tyson Bagent on the mental side of the game? No. But he's so far ahead of even guys like Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray physically, Bo Nix physically, Jaden Daniels physically, that I'm like, I'm not quitting on that guy anytime soon. Like, I just refuse to. Like, when Trubisky was with the Bears, we used to do shows talking about how it was going to be the year three jump for Mitch because it was year two in an offense, that he had the unfortunate bad luck of having two different coaches in 2 years. And you really, like, you can, the truly special guys make the jump in the second year in the system, mm-hmm. or if they're lucky enough to have the consistency, their second year in the league. And I think I've seen enough from Caleb to know that, like, I'm fully committed to giving him a full offseason with Ben Johnson, a full offseason in the same offense, like the consecutive years in the same offense for the first time since college. Like, I don't think I'm going to be downgrading the Caleb Williams stock at the end of the year. Obviously, we still have, what, 11 games, nine games to go?
Nine
but,
games.
Yeah, nine games. I'm not good at math. but, like, I'll be very surprised if I want to lower the bar on Caleb at the end of the year.
Danny Parkins, you know him. He's a former midday host here on 670, or excuse me, afternoon host.
No, both are true.
Yes.
I did both.
Both are true. Yeah. Yes. Different shows with Matt Spiegel. Different. There's a lot going on, okay?
Danny Parkins, former host of Spiegel and Parkins, and the former host of Parkins and Spiegel.
Very different shows from what I understand.
And McNeil and Parkins, and the short-lived Danny Parkins show, and, you know what I mean? Who knows?
I did like the Danny Parkins show is a good one.
But you can catch him now on FS1. He's on the newly expanded First Things First. That's from 4 to 5, as I mentioned, on Fox Sports 1. Danny, so back to the standard thing, lowering your expectation. I'm not lowering my expectation, because my expectation is simply Ben Johnson, the head coach's stated expectation. I'm watching Drake May complete 75% of his passes. Meanwhile, Caleb's not to 70, but I'm giving him until the rest of the year to figure it out. Like, I'm very comfortable giving him a complete year in a new offense, as you mentioned, from year two to year three, whatever, to figure it out. So I don't think any of us should be lowering our – I think if you lower your standard, Caleb Williams is a failure if you have to lower what the stated standard is.
That's the thing. Like, if Caleb Williams is Kyler Murray – he's not like a failure at life. He'll make a couple $100 million and be a starter in the NFL for a decade. But it still will be disappointing. I just think we're far away from that. Like, I really do. I think we are, like, let's see how this goes. Like, Ben Johnson took this job for a reason. And that quarterback was a big part of the reason to take that job. And so, like, we have to be able to. I get it. It's a referendum every single week in the NFL. It's why it's so popular. It's why I love it so much. But, like, again, last 7 weeks ago, the consensus was the best quarterback in that draft class was Jaden Daniels. Today, the consensus on the best quarterback in that draft class is Drake May. Let's see what it is 7 weeks from now, much less 7 years from now.
Well, what's the fun in that? Come on now.
Well, let's talk about Michael Jordan.
Now, well, actually, that's where I was going next. What do you think of Michael Jordan talking about load management in part two of his interview with Mike Tirico?
I mean, it was like the most predictable thing ever. Like, obviously, Mike would hate it. And the folklore of Michael Jordan, of, like, playing for the guy at the top of the rafters, right? Like, Joakim Noah said the same thing. Kobe said the same thing. Like, it's a tried and true thing. We love it. Lunch pail, blue collar, like, Chicago tough. You play through injury, all that great. He also missed four seasons being retired. You know, like, if Michael Jordan load managed a little bit instead of playing 15 years, could he have played 19? If Michael Jordan load managed a little bit, would the Bulls have had eight titles instead of six? Like, it's such a convenient thing for him to say, given what he did when he played, how his era was played. And, like, obviously it just craps all over the current guys without him doing it explicitly. But I would have gladly traded 15 regular season games a year for Michael Jordan for two more championships or two more seasons of him on the Bulls. So I just think it's, like, a very convenient interpretation of his own narrative to spin it that way.
My biggest takeaway from the whole conversation was, like, yeah, this dude survived those shoes he used to play in, because I've put on a pair of those and tried to actually play basketball in them back in the day. And I was like, the fact that he survived that That to me is a testament to toughness in and of itself. So I think that's the biggest thing he overcame was the shoes back in that era.
I think it was the drinking and the gambling and the smoking.
You can get through that. We've seen many an athlete get through all that stuff.
No, you know, but the thing is though is like I say it tongue in cheek, like LeBron, like a crazy night out for LeBron is a couple of glasses of wine. Like Jordan lived hard. He would like drop 55, have a porterhouse, smoke a cigar, play blackjack until 3 a.m, and then drop 48 the next night. Like he was not exactly like my body is my temple. Like when he said like, you know, you play basketball 2.5-3 hours, and then the rest of those 21 hours is dedicated to like getting ready to play basketball again. Like, who is he kidding? That is absolutely not what he was doing.
Well, and the hard part is you don't know if Jordan, think about him in today's NBA, if he had a supermax contract
and a hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, would he do the same thing?
Oh, it would be so different. But like, yeah, he would, the team would mandate that he sit some games and he would shoot more threes. Like it's, that's why those conversations are fun but meaningless, because time travel doesn't exist. Like Michael Jordan, if he had a shooting coach and a coaching staff that understood that three is worth more than two and lived in the modern era, like, of course Michael Jordan could have been a great three-point shooter. There's no reason to believe that he couldn't. But like, that's just like not what they did. They're like, you know what would be better? Shooting 19-foot fadeaways. Like, that's just ridiculous. But he was the best at it. So like, he could have been great at shooting 23 footers, and he should have been. It would have been much smarter if he would have shot 23 footers for 3 points instead of 19-foot fadeaways for 2 points. But we were just dumb in the 90s. I didn't realize that three was worth more than two.
Ah, well, at least we've got that math going for us. Danny, thank you.
Figured it out.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Danny.
Let's. That's Danny Parkins, of course, of First Things First. You can see him at 4 o'clock today on Fox Sports 1. Coming up next, it's been a busy day at Halas Hall. We're getting some updates. We're getting some interesting quotes. So Mark Grody will tell us the latest as the Bears get ready for the Bengals. That is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different.
Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to Chris Chelios. He is a BetMGM ambassador. BetMGM, make it legendary. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Chris joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Chris, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
We're talking about how much fun it's been with our winter sports teams. Obviously, the Bulls are undefeated through four games, which is good to see. But the young Blackhawks are playing so much better, maybe, than we anticipated that they would. And, man, it was fun to see Connor Bedard break out with a hat trick in a game. And all of a sudden, he's doing great. You know, you get a couple games like that, that's going to feed the statistical animal.
Yeah, good for him. He was a little bit snake-bit before. They had plenty of chances. I was listening to Panger. He could easily have 10 goals, 11 goals by now with the breakaways and the chances he's had. But we talked about it, whatever he did over the course of the summer, you know, and, you know, skipping out on going to the World Championships and focusing on getting his body, changing his body, which he did. It's noticeable when you see him, you know, wearing shorts around the hallways there and his legs. He's really, whatever he did, again, he's picked up a step. He seems a little more relaxed. He's actually smiling once in a while when he scores, which is nice to see. So hopefully that's a result of Nazar, you know, rubbing off on him as a roommate. But what a shot he's got, obviously. You got to see those two goals he scored, those wrist shots. And it's great to see the fans, their buzz. And had a little bit of a lapse there when they came back and played L.A. You know, they talk about how, you know, boring L.A. is. But when they get a lead, you know, it's almost like a trap they play and just wait for you to make mistakes. But then to bounce back like they did last game, it was fun to watch. It sure was.
He had the three goals on Tuesday night and against the Kings on Sunday. He won more faceoffs than he had at any point in his career with 10, Chris. What do you attribute that to? Is it just a stronger build and he's tougher to move off the puck, or what would you say is the biggest difference?
I'll tell you what, faceoffs, and I played center, but what I did watch in Detroit was after every practice, you know, Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Draper, they just worked at it. I don't think it's a matter of strength. It's a matter of, you know, cheating, recognizing what the other center's doing, you know, whether they're just trying to beat you clean or, you know, whack away your stick and then take the puck. So that's just, you know, putting some time and effort into working on faceoffs. So I'm sure Foligno has got something to do with that, and probably, you know, maybe Mike Lepeka, the assistant coach, who was a great centerman, so defensively. And so I believe it's just hard work, nothing to do with strength.
It's you mentioned his friendship with Frankie Nazar, their roommates on the road, etc. What is going on with that relationship? How does that change a person? They say that Frankie Nazar is kind of the personality guy, that he's like the kind of guy that makes an easy joke and has a good laugh. Does that loosen up a player who is kind of obsessed with with only himself, maybe?
Well, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors when they're rooming, but I just watch on the ice, and Nazar's got a little bit of an edge to him. You know, every game he tries to run somebody, and he's a little physical, and you can see Connor's kind of come out that year, and he got involved with that 6-foot, whatever, 5, Papreko in St. Louis. So maybe that's had a little bit to do with it, too. He's just, you know, not backing down from anybody, and he's going in those hard spots like Nazar does, and it's, you know, it's contagious when you see a guy going out there and, you know, the season he had last year and how he continued to start out Nazar. So I think that's got everything to do with it. They're just feeding off each other.
How odd will it be tonight when you're watching the Hawks and Jonathan Toews skates out in a Jets sweater and plays against his former team?
Well, not as bad as it looked when I watched me put on a Wings jersey, I'll tell you that. So, but I'm so happy for Taser. He's doing his thing. Winnipeg's off to a good start. You know, he's the kind of guy, now I think he's playing 15 minutes a game, but he could easily, if someone was to get hurt, fill in on the power play, penalty kill, anything. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to look strange. He's even known as a Blackhawk and what he accomplished with the Blackhawks. But I'm sure all the Chicago fans and even the Blackhawk players, I know they're going to want to get his autograph, but they better be ready for him because he's going to be ready to go for this game.
And you know, we've talked about it a little bit. It's not like he's the kind of guy. It's not like he wanted to go somewhere else or he left the team. Or, you know, his career looked over. He looked physically overmatched. He couldn't get healthy. And to see him go through all that he went through to try to find an answer and to find one, it just makes you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't know. You guys don't know what he went through. First of all, physically, when he put all that weight on, you know, he went on this crazy schedule or of not training. He was trying something else. He put all the weight on it. Definitely slowed him down. And then the mental part where he just frustrated and then took off for basically 2 years and, you know, got it together. It's not like he wasn't doing anything to try and help himself. He was trying everything to try and snap out of whatever this mental thing he's been going through. And he's still, you know, speaking to him and his he's got a guy, not a doctor, but a guy who tries to help him through all this stuff. He's still, you know, battling it a little bit. But again, the credit to him to come back, and you know, he wanted to play. He loves the game, and it's great to see him back in the lineup.
Chelly, it's only 10 games, but this Hawk team looks different. The veterans compliment the young players, and the young players are playing fast and free. And they're skilled. So what would you describe, or how would you best put the effect Jeff Blashill has had on this team so soon?
I mean, I've known Blash for 10 years. He has a huge effect. The way he communicates with these players, he's strict and he's hard on them. He's fair when he needs to be tough on them. He is. I'm sure he's had some conversations with Connor prior to the season and talked to him and the rest of the team. And I think after the Kings game, he was visibly upset. I guess he's, you know, bag skated him, as we used to call it in the 90s, and kind of the no puck thing, and was upset with them. But they reacted well and came back with that great game last game against Ottawa. So Blash got everything to do with it. The defensemen are staying home more disciplined in their zone. I don't know if I call it cheating, but anticipating 50-50 plays. Now they're thinking defense as opposed to blowing the zone. And it's making a difference for the defensemen when the center and the wingers are coming down lower and helping out. It really is. And that all goes to Blashill and the way he coaches.
Somebody said that he really kind of learned how to communicate with players when he was in Tampa, that he tapped into what he saw occurring there and is a different guy than he was in his last stop alone in Detroit. He's much more of a connected coach to players.
Well, that's coaching with John Cooper, not only with Tampa, but over the years he's been with John Cooper, and I think that's what he lacked. There's no question with the young kids he had a good rapport. The veteran guys, because Blash didn't have a lot of experience, and he, you know, basically came from junior and then the minors, I don't think he was really clicking with the veteran players. But now with Cooper and that veteran team they had in Tampa, like anything else, like, he's open to learning, and he doesn't have an ego. And him and Cooper are best friends. Like, and I'm sure Coop talks to him daily about what's going on. So I think he's had a big effect on that and the relationship that Blash is building with these veterans and the young guys, for sure.
So, Chelly, what do you think about this World Series? Who's going to win it, and how do you explain the Dodgers running out of gas after playing 18 innings? It's not like they're hockey guys. They're getting tired soon.
God, I'm stuck on this one. I watched the game last night, and I'll be honest with you, I've said it before, I hate Toronto fans, I hate LA fans, I just want Game 7. But it's been great baseball. There's nothing like, you know, World Series or playoff baseball, but it's hard to believe, you know, how they could shut those guys down, Freddie and Ohtani last night, but that pitcher was just on fire, and that's what it comes down to. You got the best pitchers in the game, and Toronto had the best record all year, right? So it's not a surprise, but L.A. is just loaded with it, great individual players, but Toronto's a full team. They play as a team, and, you know, small ball, whatever it takes, they win.
Chris, the winning streak ended for your Bears, and lo and behold, now they've got another game on the road that ostensibly is winnable, But you worry about quarterbacks and who's in and who's out, and meanwhile they got injuries galore.
Yeah, I mean, still, you got to give Johnson time. There's definitely a different attitude and culture that he brings. Williams is still struggling, and hope to God he could figure it out. I wouldn't mind if you're Bajan in once in a while, but that's going to cause a big you-know-what storm. So I just, like I said, the defense has been playing amazing with the takeaways. Four games in a row, that's a good sign. They haven't done that for a while. But, yeah, without Washington having their starting quarterback, you thought maybe they'd steal another one, but they didn't. They came out flat, and now they got another road game, so that's going to be tough. But I still, at the end of the day, I still think they're playing better. And injuries, there's nothing you can do. They play hard, and that's, you know, how – remember the Lions, too, that year. They had tons of injuries. They just played playoff football during the regular season, and they pay for it. That's the bottom line.
How many games in a row do the Bulls have to win before you go to one of their games?
You know what? I don't care. I love going to the Bulls games. To watch them live is incredible, the athleticism. But I haven't been yet, mostly because the schedule is busy. But I'm looking forward to going seeing them play. I really am. We all got spoiled in the 90s, so it's tough to accept what's going on. The 90s were incredible for me, especially in Chicago with us and them. And, you know, we didn't finish the job, but to watch MJ and what those guys did for the city was sick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Great stuff, Chris. Always great to catch up with you. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Championship belt is right here. Joe Cowley.
Well, you know what? Joe Cowley writes something, he just, you know what, he write that just because. Just because, you know, you don't take that. When you are that type of media, I don't think you do it.
Columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times.
According to Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Covering Chicago sports for over 20 years.
A little birdie told me.
Don't little bird me. I'm the dean of Get It Done University. Don't little bird me.
All the latest news and notes on your Chicago Bulls.
That's Billy Donovan, head coach of the Bulls. He has got to go deal with Joe Cowley and all the questions that Joe is going to ask him.
It's my pleasure. It's great to be with you guys.
Joe Cowley.
The standard is the standard.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
How about it? The Bulls are undefeated as they get ready to welcome back Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan tonight over at the UC. Joe Cowley joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. How are you, Mr. Handsome?
Boys, how you guys doing?
We are doing really well, man. Really, really well. And it's interesting watching the beginning of this Bulls season. What are you taking from it?
Well, that the 10-5 at the end of last regular season, which, you know, I caution people don't read too much into March basketball, where teams started putting themselves in position to tank and other teams started resting guys for the playoff run. But there's something to it. And that this pace, especially to start a season, is taxing on opposing teams. Guys are not ready. Guys are not prepared. I had a chance to talk to Isaac Okoro about this the other day. And one of the things he mentioned, I said, when you were in Cleveland – and you guys were preparing for the Bulls, you know, what was the preparation like last year when they switched this offense to this, you know, this Billy Donovan, Billy Ball? And he said, you know, you can try and talk about it and you can try and simulate it. But, it, you know, in a regular season, especially at the start, it's almost impossible to prepare for. So you have to hope you make your shots and they're pulling the ball out of the basket and that kind of slows things down. But right now, I mean, you're seeing teams get on their heels, and it's just one quarter that teams flinch and the Bulls jump all over them. So, you know, kudos to this philosophy that they have adopted and they are staying true to. I mean, we finally see a team that has an identity for the first time in a while, and it's really toying with the opposing teams, especially early on here. I mean, you know, nobody wants to come out and run their ass off in October.
But I'm just gonna brace myself and make sure I'm hearing what I'm hearing. It's very exciting, Joe. Like when you see the Bulls start this way, if you're me, you're like, but what does Cowley think? Like, because I was feeling it.
Nobody thinks that.
No, I do. I do because
I do too. Because like we have to know you're there every day, and it's like, is this right. Real or not?
Yeah, and you're you, Joe. Let's face it. You are. I wouldn't say that you are negative. I would say that you don't suffer fools, and you are a guy on whatever beat you've ever been on, who calls out a lack of vision when it is there. And we've spent 3 years calling out AK for a lack of vision. And right now, I feel like you just said it there in the last part of your answer. I feel like we're seeing a vision. I don't know how great it's going to get, but I feel like I'm seeing an idea of what they want to be. And with Billy's help as the coach, they're actually being that. That's good.
Well, Mr. Positive also brings something else to the table here. I don't think I've seen a team that's as close and that likes each other going back to the offseason since I covered the 2005 White Sox. And what I mean by that is, you know, no one knew the 2005 White Sox was going to win a championship. But in spring, you came out of spring training going, you know what? A, these dudes really, really like each other. There's not anything they can't say to each other. They can joke with each other. So at least off the field, off the diamond at that time, you felt like, you know, they got something special when times get rough, when adversity hits. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to beat Cleveland or, you know, the Twins, whoever the favorite was at the time. And I will say this Bulls team, going back to the summer when Io and Kobe were getting all these guys to go out to Los Angeles for a week and have like a boot camp where they just play and run and run and play and get conditioned and go out to eat together and do all kind of stuff together. And then they did it again later in the summer down in Miami. And these dudes all like each other. They can all kid around with each other. There's no feelings hurt. You know, in previous locker rooms, guys would bust balls and there'd be like looks like, you know, you can't say that, or I don't like to be talked to that way, or how come you have this shoe from Nike and I don't? And there's none of that. So you got two things to start this season off that should have Bulls fans excited is A, the chemistry off the court to me is very high. And in an 82 game season, that has legs. And then obviously the legs part of it, they're built to do some damage in the regular season because of their depth and because of the way they run. Now, what I will caution people about, what you see in the regular season could become very disappointing in the playoffs, where the entire NBA philosophy changes. We saw that last year in the playoffs, how physical things got. That's what they're trying to work on. That's the juice right there that, you know, they have to figure out, is this roster worth the squeeze? Can they also be physical and defensive minded? That's what has to be figured out.
In watching the first three games, this one observation, I'm curious what you think about it. I feel like when we're talking about half court offense, they are better served with Trey Jones at the top of the key initiating things.
100%. Because he's an adult point guard. He's a throwback point guard that they haven't really had. And, you know, the interesting thing is, this could be great this year, and this could really work out to be something special. I'm not saying it's a championship team by any means. There's teams in the East that are dogs that are going to be waiting for them, and then just styles make the fight, and it's a bad matchup. But I will say this. The decisions that are going to be made this year are very interesting, because to me, you can't have Io and you can't have Kobe. So do you, and this team doesn't tank, so there's none of that. If things get, you know, guys get injured and things go south, they're not going to just start, you know, throwing, you know, stuff off the edge of the boat and lighten the load. They're not going to do that. But does a decision have to be made during the season? That's a smart basketball decision where you don't rock the boat and you actually get an asset in return that could continue to move this thing forward, whether it's a more of a defensive minded big or it's a draft pick or whatever it is. That's going to be an interesting thing that falls on Arturas's plate, is does he have the mindset and the big picture to say, okay, we're doing okay here in the regular season, but I have to think bigger picture. And that's my concern with him, because he has not shown that. So that's where things get interesting, because I don't think you get Io and Kobe next year on the same roster after you extended Trey, after what you're paying Patrick, after you extended Josh Giddey. You know, so something's got to budge, and I just, that's what's going to get interesting.
Yeah, we're talking to Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times about the Bulls, and Joe sees what we have seen, which is something building and something brewing and a team playing well to its identity. We had Arturas on the show in person on opening day and had a chance to ask him exactly what you just said. Like, when the deadline comes, is there a way that you are aggressive in a different way than you have been? And he said yes, and I understand your lack of belief in it. What could change that? Like, what would they need to see in order for him to become the kind of aggressor he might need to be at the deadline?
Well, I will say, since last trade deadline, from the people I've talked to outside this organization, he has been a little more transparent with other teams when talking about his personnel. For years, it's just been tight-lipped, very hard to work with from other executives. Can't get a read on him, can't get a feel on him, so don't want to deal with him. And so I will say that whether it's him starting to understand his position a little bit more, he has been a little more transparent in how he values guys. And so it starts there. I mean, I think that's a key step. So you can't fall in love with your product too much. And that's been another problem, not only with the old regime, but with this regime, that they love their product too much and their draft pick and their personnel and their guys. So, you know, you're going to have to see what the market brings to you and be open-minded about it. And my concern is the mindset there over at the United Center that, hey, if we're really good in the regular season, we're already going to have asses in the seats, and that's good enough. We're all extended. You know, let's just build this thing slowly, and then, hey, let's reevaluate once we get into the summer. Because then, to me, you're missing the big picture of how to get to a championship. And if the goal isn't how to get to a championship, it's just how to be okay from mediocre to playoff bound. If that's the goal, then Arturas has proven to be the right guy for that goal. But if it's what he promised when he was hired to bring the championship back to the Bulls, then he's got to think big picture, especially this year. You want to strike when the striking's right.
Part of the goal would be developing Modis into a superstar, because it's rare that you're going to have an opportunity to go get one. Where does he need to get better?
I just continue the path he's on. He wants to be great. He's got the perfect attitude for it. He's you know, the kind of guy that old school coaches like Billy Donovan love. He's not Patrick Williams, where his feelings get hurt when you criticize him. He wants to be criticized. He feeds off that. Just continue that. Continue to develop in his body. He's, what, 21? He just became, you know, legal drinking age. So, I mean, the nice thing is we can all sit back and watch this kind of climb together. And he's a guy that wants to climb. I mean, he's a willing participant in that. So that's huge when you have that mindset. And, you know, to me, it's always better to have to hold back the wild horse than push that mule up a hill. And Patrick Williams has been a mule. And maybe he's finally starting to figure out and just say, hey, I was a number four pick. I'm never going to live up to that. I'll just be a role guy off the bench and try and play that role as best I can, because he's actually looked like he has some kind of life to him finally. So, I don't think Modest has to do anything crazy of what he's already doing, which is working out, developing his body, working on his game, learning, getting put in different situations, guarding different guys, whether it's Giannis one night or Randall the next, and understanding the physicality it takes. And I think he's slowly learning that. And so, he just does. When you're 6'10 and you have that kind of handle and vision and athleticism, I mean, just fine tune things. I mean, because that's freakish what he is.
Joe, for the multiple years that we spent dissecting Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan as teammates, like these two, mm-hmm. These two lead guitar players in the same band that couldn't quite figure it out on a lot of nights. Here they are back. And I wonder how you think they'll be thought of and greeted in their return to Chicago tonight.
Oh, I mean, this fan base is very soft and forgiving, so they will clap and scream and applaud both, and they should. I mean, DeMar busted his ass here for the Bulls, and he played some of his best basketball of his Hall of Fame career for the Bulls. You know, Zach LaVine, you know, it wasn't his fault that they decided to give him a max contract. You know, you could, as a media member, you can only write or say so much, but they're way smarter than me at basketball. Way smarter. They're geniuses there because of all the rings they have. So when I was writing and saying that Zach LaVine is not a max contract and the fan base here wasn't happy to hear that, and there was all this Zach love, I think it's playing out in Sacramento. He is, like I said, he is the guy you want to marry your daughter. You just don't want to max him out on your basketball team. You don't want a max contract in his hands. And it worked that one season because there was an adult running the show and a healthy Lonzo Ball. Once he folded, you actually saw just how redundant their games were and how tough it was to play your turn, my turn. So, Sacramento's got a problem that the Bulls had and didn't understand and get rid of long, you know, quick enough.
Considering your background and what you were doing around this time 20 years ago, what's the part of the White Sox 05 run that will always stick with you?
Like I said, just how much they just the brotherhood. It was like a platoon mentality. I mean, if you watch, you know, not to compare any kind of baseball team to war, but if you watch Army or war movies where there's just a brotherhood of us against the world and we're not going to give in, you know, Lone Survivor, whatever movie you want to compare it to, they just had that kind of mentality. You know, they had their class clowns and AJ and Uribe, and they had their, you know, the straight guys with Konerko, who kind of was babysitting all these guys, and Frank when he was healthy. And, you know, it was just a perfect mix of guys both on and off the field. And you felt that early, and it was just great to see it translate, because, you know, it always doesn't translate. I've been around locker rooms where guys really like each other and they don't win a lot of games, but it's a good stepping stone. And I'll just remember that. And with Ozzy, the ringleader of this circus, it was great. It was one of the most fun I've ever had covering the team, because how much they cared about each other and how much they cared about the media, which you don't really hear or see. I mean, they were great with us, and Ozzy made sure of that. If you were not great with us or disrespected one of us, he told those guys it was like disrespecting him and his office.
Hmm.
So you don't hear that from managers anymore. I remember he brought us out in the first team meeting in front of everyone. The minor leagues, everyone said, this is Mark Gonzalez, this is Joe Colley, this is Doug Padilla, this is Scott Gregor. If you disrespect them or you can't come and talk to them, you're going to have a big problem with me. And then he told us, get the F out of here. And then, you know, but I mean, you know, that will never happen again. What that 05 team was with us and each other will never happen again. It can't be duplicated.
Look at that, Mr. Positive, Joe Colley.
Mr. Positive.
There he is. He sees the vision with these Bulls. That's quite a turn. Yeah. It's quite a moment we're in.
How about a Colley face turn? Who would have ever thought?
He still called out the fans for being soft. And
I didn't say baby face. I just said a face turn.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to talk to Chicago people and people from Illinois about basketball because it's a great basketball city and state.
Oh, here we go.
Much like when Jor-El sent Superman to the planet Earth, I was sent from the bad streets of Ohio, a football haven, and almost 28 years to the day to try and educate a low IQ football fan base. So that's why I'm glad we can talk basketball.
Yeah,
because when we talk football, It's like studying the apes. It's like me having to go teach the apes how to get food and get ants with sticks. So I'm glad we could just keep it to basketball and baseball and not have to talk football because Illinois is just it's a low IQ football state.
And let me just I just want to make sure I got this right, got my notes right.
Checking that Cleveland record.
What Ohio team do you root for? Because you're an Alabama fan and a Steelers fan.
I did cover Ohio State for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I don't root for them, but I mean, when you're in from that hot football area of Ohio, Pennsylvania, you got your Texas people, your Florida people, now your Georgia people, California. I mean, that's the mecca of football. So when you have to come to Illinois and talk to people, and they're like, Justin Fields, Caleb, and they're upset with things that are obvious, and it's just hard. I've tried to do it.
Yeah.
Much like Superman tried to help the humans.
Well, you've done it.
I've tried.
We now regret the phone call. You've totally done it. Good
job. There you go.
Thanks for reinforcing.
I was positive for a while.
Can't last. Thanks, Joe.
We love you, Joe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.